Thank you, Robert. Good afternoon, brethren. It's kind of warm up here today, so if I pass out or something, come up with a fan or something to give me a little way to revive myself. For those of you that like sermon titles, the title is, How Can We Build and Maintain a Right Relationship with God? I hope that doesn't sound too familiar, but we'll see how it goes here. Our lives are based on relationships. People seek out relationships because God has created in us the need for friends and companionship. We have relationships with our employers, employees, our co-workers, our neighbors, our friends, and our relatives. We have a relationship with our mate. Our mate should be our very best friend. Whether we realize it or not, we even have a relationship with God. Now, to have a relationship with someone, we must spend time with them. Let's use our kids as an example. We should support our kids in youth functions, at school and at church. Go to their games with them. Attend their school plays and their year-end awards activities and programs. We need to spend time with our children. To have a relationship with someone, we must share experiences with them. Go eat a meal together. Go to a concert together. Or go to the park and enjoy a picnic lunch and play together. We can share experiences with others by working together or playing together. To have a relationship with someone, we must communicate with them. Friends talk to each other. Friends talk about their hopes and dreams and their fears. To have a relationship with someone, we must respect them. To respect someone is to honor them, esteem them, be considerate and polite to them. The Bible says in Philippians 2, verse 3, Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. We need to respect each other. We all need to be careful in what we say to each other and about each other. Now, let's look at the spiritual side. How is your relationship with God? Let's look at 7 points in how we can build and maintain a right relationship with God. Point number one. To have a relationship with God, we must communicate with God through prayer. We must spend time with God. Let's think about a telephone. When we talk on the phone, we can't see the individual on the other end, but we know that they're there. We talk, they listen. Then they talk, and we listen. Well, our relationship with God is similar. We talk to God through prayer, and we listen to God speak through Bible study and through sermons, by having the Word of God expounded to us. In James 5:16, we don't have to turn there, it's a very familiar scripture, it says, The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. We need to ask ourselves, are our prayers fervent and effective? One way to be more effective in prayer is to spend more time on our knees. One way to be more fervent is to realize that God is our friend He is not out to get us. He only wants what is best for us. God wants to be our friend. Let's look at John 15, verses 14 and 15. John 15, verses 14 and 15. It says, Christ said, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." Verse 15, "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you." One trait of a good friend is the ability to be a good listener. God is a very good listener. God wants you to share your successes and your failures with Him. Talk to God about your trials and your tests. Also talk to God about your blessings and the good things that are happening in your life. We should talk to God about things before we do them. Are you going to buy a car or a house? Talk to God about it. God is your financial partner. Pray to God about major decisions. God wants us to talk to Him. Let's look at Matthew 6, verses 5 through 7. Matthew 6, verses 5 through 7. Matthew 6 and verse 5, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues or on the corners of the street, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." Verse 6, "But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words." Notice that the scripture says, when you pray, not if you pray. Notice in verse 6 that it says that God will reward you openly if we pray in the proper manner. In secret, not to be seen of men. It is interesting that the disciples lived and walked with Jesus, and yet they asked Him to teach them how to pray. The Lord's Prayer was given to us by Jesus as a model prayer to show us how to pray to God. Of course, you can find that in Luke 11, 1 through 4. We can use the Lord's Prayer as a guideline in what to pray about, but put it in your own words. How should we talk to God? We should talk to God as we would talk to our own human father. We should talk to God in a natural way, not in a monotone voice. Don't talk to God in a syrupy manner with a King James English with these and thous. Talk to God as you would talk to your very best friend. You respect your friends. You would not want to do anything to offend them. You don't want to offend God in how you talk to Him. Talk to God as if He would answer immediately. Always realize to whom you are praying. As you come before God in prayer, be aware of whom you are to whom you are praying. This being is the eternal Creator God who has all power and glory. Don't approach God sleepily or carelessly. You might say something that you shouldn't. Always have a humble attitude in prayer. Abase yourself and exalt God. He is the creator and we are the created. He is the potter and we are the clay. Realize that you are coming before the very throne of the ruler of the universe. Always remember that God is listening. Just as important, realize as you pray that you have God's undivided attention. How can we build on this relationship with God? Spend more time on your knees, praying. Praise God. The Psalms are filled with praises to God. Read the Psalms as you are praying to inspire you on how to praise God. David was a man after God's own heart. Read the Psalms to see how David praised God. Read a song from the church hymnal. This may inspire you and give you ideas on how to pray to God. Thank God for your blessings. Are we taking the time daily to talk to God? Point number two, to have a relationship with God, we must let God communicate with us. Let God communicate with us. Remember the example of the telephone? We talk and they listen, then they talk and we listen. Our relationship with God is similar. We talk to God through prayer, and we listen to God speak through Bible study, sermons, and sermon tapes. Today, there is no reason not to be able to study and learn from God's Word. Bibles, concordances, and other Bible helps are moderately priced. You can get Bible software for your computer and do all kinds of word searches and scripture comparisons of different translations. There are websites on the internet that have Bible software that you can use that is free of charge. There are all kinds of Bible articles and literature on the internet that you can print out and read. We in the Church of God and live in the era of the sermon CDs and audio tapes. There are so many CDs and audio tapes around that we could probably listen to a different tape for 24 hours a day for 5 years and never repeat one. Even with all the tapes and religious literature around, we still need to stick our noses in the Bible. We need to know what is in the Bible. We need to know that we know. If anyone questions us, then we can say, I have read it for myself, and I know what it says. We must be ready to give an answer to everyone that asks us of the reason of the hope that is in us. If you want to turn to 1 Peter 3:15, 1 Peter 3:15. First Peter 3:15 says basically the same thing. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We must be like the Bereans in Paul's day who searched the scriptures daily. That was in Acts 17:11. We must study the Bible to show ourselves approved unto God. Let's turn over to 2 Timothy 2:15. 2 Timothy 2:15. Second Timothy 2:15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to prove all things and hold fast that which is good. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:21. How can we answer another person's question even the questions of our children and grandchildren if we don't read and study the Bible? Are we taking the time daily to talk, to let God talk to us? Point number three, to build a strong relationship with God, we must meditate on spiritual things. Meditate on spiritual things. How many times have we heard a good sermon and 1 hour later, we don't remember anything about it? It seems that people today are afraid to be alone with their thoughts. Usually as soon as we enter our house, the TV gets turned on. It's easier to turn on the tube than to turn on our minds. We live in the age of the paid entertainer and the hired specialist who can provide the services we are unable to perform for ourselves. But this is also the age in which we can even become accustomed to letting others do the thinking for us. The most unfortunate part of our no-think environment is its effect on the mental outlook of many of us in God's church. As a consequence, we don't spend the time or effort we should in active thought and meditation about God, His laws, His Word, and how they relate to our lives. We all need to learn the art of meditation. How long can you meditate and stay focused on a subject without your mind wandering? For most of us, it's probably a few seconds. When we meditate, we need to roll it over in our minds. We need to bounce it off the Ten Commandments. It takes real concentration and practice to stay focused on a certain subject. Meditation is simply taking a certain theme, problem, or scripture and dwelling on it, asking how, why, when, where, and what is the end result, then determining whether or not that is the result you want. It is a matter of looking at things from God's point of view. We need to ask, would God be pleased with our conclusion? We need to meditate on the things of God. The next time you are lying in bed and can't go to sleep, begin meditating on God. Think about how great God is. He created the universe and all things that are in it. Think about John 3:16. Think about how loving and kind God is. Think about how gracious and merciful God is. When we sin, God doesn't zap us or step on us like a bug. Count your blessings that God has given you. Thank God for the talents that He has given you. We are to meditate on God's law. Listen, let's turn to Joshua 1, verse 8. Joshua 1, verse 8. Let's notice how often we are to meditate. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. We are to meditate day and night. Why should we meditate? Meditation is used to convict ourselves of the need for personal change. Meditation internalizes God's way of life within us. Meditation helps us build a strong relationship with God. Point number four, to build a strong relationship with God, we should fast to draw closer to God. In order to have a good relationship with someone, we will want to spend premium time with them. We may invite them in for dinner and have some stimulating conversation. This way we can get to know them better. Sometimes we may give them gifts or send them a card to let them know that we really appreciate them. How can we draw closer to God? One way is to fast. God, in both the Old and New Testaments, commanded his people to fast. Let's look at Matthew 6, verses 16 through 18. Matthew 6, verses 16 through 18. Matthew 6, beginning in verse 16. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Verse 17. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that you appear not unto men to fast, but unto your Father which is in secret, and your Father which sees in secret shall reward you openly. Notice it says when you fast, not if. Make sure you comb your hair and brush your teeth. Don't brag or tell others that you are fasting. The Pharisees did these things to appear religious. We are to appear as if we are not fasting, and the Bible says that the Father will reward us openly. God wants us to learn spiritual lessons from fasting. When we fast, we become physically weak. This lesson teaches us that we are human and frail. Without food and water, we would die. Spiritually, the lesson to be learned is that without God, we will die spiritually. We are very dependent upon God's creation, the earth, with its soil and rain, to sustain our physical lives with food and water. If we draw closer to God through fasting, he will help us to overcome and sustain our spiritual lives. Fasting is one of the greatest tools that God gives to help us think like him and act like him. So why fast? To humble yourselves and to draw closer to God. Point number five. To build a strong relationship with God, we must stir up the Spirit. We must stir up the Spirit. Let's look at Romans 8, verse 9. Romans 8, verse 9. Romans 8, beginning in verse 9. It says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Dropping down to verse 16, Romans 8:16, it says, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Holy Spirit is the common denominator of all of God's people. We have all heard the phrase, blood is thicker than water. This means that family ties are stronger than most friendships. With God, spirit is thicker than blood. It is the Spirit that makes us the children of God. The Holy Spirit is a gift. The Bible says in Acts 2:38, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let's turn to 2 Timothy 1, verses 6 and 7. 2 Timothy 1, verses 6 and 7. Second Timothy 1, beginning in verse 6. Wherefore I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God which is in you by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. One of the reasons we are to stir up the Spirit so that we can utilize the fruits of the Spirit, which are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. How do we stir up the Spirit? Through Bible study. We stir up the Spirit so we can attain knowledge. Through prayer and meditation, we stir the Spirit so that we can attain understanding and wisdom. By putting the fruits of the Spirit into practice, we develop character. Do we set the right example by reflecting the fruits of God's Spirit? Point number six, to build a strong relationship with God, we must keep the commandments. Keep the Ten Commandments. In John 14:15, it says, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. The Ten Commandments govern our relationship with God and man. The last six commandments tell us how to get along with our neighbors. The first four commandments guide us in our relationship with God. The first four commandments are related in Exodus 20, beginning in verse 3. Let's turn there and just review these. Exodus 20, verse 3. The first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. Verse 4, the second commandment, you shall not make unto you any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Verse 5, you shall not bow down yourself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Third commandment in verse 7, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. The fourth commandment, in verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor the stranger that is within your gates. For in the 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. The commandments tell us what God requires in our relationship with Him. God wants to be first in our lives. We can put nothing ahead of God. We cannot put our mates, children, job, country, our favorite sport or hobby ahead of God. We must put God first. We must respect and honor God's name. How would we like it if someone defamed our name? We don't like it if we hear someone putting down our mate, or children, or mother, or father. This upsets us. Why then would we want to disrespect and profane the name of our spiritual father? The fourth commandment is special. In our relationship with God, He wants us to spend time with Him. He took the seventh day of the week and ordained it and blessed it as holy time and called it the Sabbath. He wants us to keep this day holy by worshiping Him. Singing psalms and praises and learning more about Him and Jesus Christ and His plan of salvation. The keeping of the Ten Commandments is a very important part of our relationship with God. Point number six. To build a strong relationship with God, we must trust God. Trust God. Relationships are built on trust. Where would a marriage be without trust? Both the husband and the wife must be faithful to each other. Trust and faithfulness give a marriage stability. It helps the love between a husband and a wife grow for a lifetime. Relationships are built on trust, not on rules. The Pharisees had rules, rules, and more rules. Some churches today have rules, rules, and more rules. Without trust, there can be no reconciliation between individuals or churches, for that matter. God knows no boundaries. He knows His people by their having His Spirit. Jesus Christ is our Savior and the head of the church. We must have faith in Jesus and trust Him that He is guiding the church, which are the people with God's Holy Spirit. We have to put our trust in God and in Jesus Christ. Everyone knows the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They would not bow down to the image that Nebuchadnezzar made, even if punished by death in the fiery furnace. They had to make a stand and obey God even to death. They had no guarantee that God would deliver them from the fiery furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego put their trust in God. In Daniel 3:28, if you want to turn there, we'll read that real quickly. Daniel 3:28 says, Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent His angel and delivered His servants who trusted in Him. And they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. We must put our trust and confidence in God. He is our fortress, banner, and our high tower. No pun intended there. We must put God first in our lives. A synonym for trust is faith. And the Bible says in Hebrews 11:1, a very familiar scripture, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:6 says, Without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Trust is a two-way street. We must trust God, and God must be able to trust us. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. God is faithful and will not change. Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter and lists many who placed their trust and faith in God. We can trust God, but can He trust us? At the resurrection, God will give us eternal life and tremendous power. Can He trust us to use that power in a responsible way? In conclusion, our relationship with God needs constant nurturing, like a plant that needs watering. By applying these 7 points, we can build and maintain a right relationship with God. Let's review them. Point number one, communicate with God in prayer. Number two, let God communicate with you through Bible study. Number three, meditate on spiritual things. Number four, humble yourselves through fasting to draw close to God. Number five, stir up the Spirit and live by the fruits of the Spirit. Number six, keep the Ten Commandments. And number seven, trust God. In conclusion, let's turn over to James 4, verses 7 and 8. James 4, verses 7 and 8. James 4, beginning in verse 7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you.